Welcome to July, the Big K Morning Show. I'm Larry Richard. We got a lot going on, and we're going to go straight to our nation's capital. He is a legal analyst with CBS. Thane Rosenbaum joins us. Thane, good morning.
Good morning, Larry.
This could be one of the most historic days in terms of rulings from the Supreme Court when you're talking about not only former President Donald Trump, but presidents in the future when it comes to prosecution immunity. So how did we get here, Thane?
Well, you know, President Trump was facing a number of these cases dealing with election subversion. And the one out of D.C., which is the strongest of the allegations that he interfered with the election and committed a fraud on the public, he said, well, actually, I don't think I did because I was just being the president. And it's not a crime to be the president. And my job, whether I was running for office or not, is if 70 million Americans think that something's wrong with the election, my job to figure out what it was. I'm the commander in chief. So everything I did, both before and after January 6th and even after the election, was presidential. And so therefore, it's not criminal. I was investigating the legitimacy of the campaign. And what you know, to try to sort of lay any doubts of fraud. You know, the cases all alleged that he was committing a crime. So he said, well, look, I have immunity from criminal prosecution. Richard Nixon, we learned after he left office, had immunity from civil liability. Someone sued him for some of the Air Force for a job that he lost. And the Supreme Court said, you can't sue the president after he leaves the White House because everybody would sue the president for civil lawsuits. If anything went wrong with them, spend their whole lives just defending lawsuits.
Right.
So basically, Trump's making the same argument. Yeah, I can't spend my life in criminal court.
And he had appointed three of the Supreme Court justices. How much of a factor that may play in it, we'll see. But is there the possibility that it would be split in terms of it wouldn't be a blanket immunity? They could also rule, couldn't they, that there would be exceptions, or can they?
I think we should all prepare ourselves for that, Larry, what you just said. Remember, if the Supreme Court was united that presidents do not have immunity, they didn't have to take the case. The lower court, federal court in D.C., already said very quickly, dismissively, the president has no immunity from criminal prosecution. Are you kidding? That's literally what they said. Give me a break. You can't give the president immunity. He could go off and order SEAL team number 6 to go kill someone and say that, you know, it's something I was allowed to do. But the Supreme Court decided to hear this case, so they must have saw something in it. And during the oral argument, a number of them were entertaining all kinds of hypotheticals, including this question of could you order SEAL team number 6 to, you know, to commit a murder. So I think there's a chance that what the court could say is there's a qualified immunity. That means that in theory, some of those acts could be protected, but we have to know what kinds of acts get protected. Official acts of the presidency could, in fact, be protected. So the court could say, we're going to send this case back down to the trial court to determine whether any of the things that he did actually constitute an official act. And if they are all official acts, then he's immune. And if some are not official acts, then he only has qualified immunity, and he can be prosecuted for those that are not considered official acts.
So amongst your colleagues, what is your general consensus since John Roberts, the Chief Justice, said today is the day?
Well, we knew today was the day, but you're raising a good point. Why is today the day, right? Why did they go to the very, very, very end? The Supreme Court justices read the newspapers. They know that there's these criminal cases out there against Donald Trump. They know Jack Smith, the special counsel, has been waving his arms, screaming, going, if we don't get to this soon, we can't do it before the election. they heard this argument 4 months ago. So why wait until the end? And one answer is, well, it was the biggest case of the term. We always wait until the end. And so it's like, it's very dramatic. We tell you the biggest case at the very end. Or they said, well, we didn't feel we should be rushed, and we thought there was some qualified immunity. If we thought there was no immunity, then we would have ruled very quickly and let Jack Smith prosecute the president. But perhaps we waited until the very end because we saw some immunity, and we knew this case needed to be sent back for additional factual findings. So we figured we can wait until the end because this trial cannot begin before the election, because it needs to be sent back to discuss or to find what are official acts and whether President Trump engaged in them, which led to this prosecution.
Well, today will be the day we'll hear what they say about it. And before you go, Thane, they're also looking at the two social media cases. General consensus of, you know, anecdotally, for those who are not trained in legal, like yourself, matters, we're thinking they're going to go with the free speech thing. What do you think?
Yeah, Larry. Well, they've been doing it for two terms now. Every single time they've heard cases against social media companies, Facebook, YouTube, X. Every time they heard a case in which the question is, can it be regulated because it's a public square? In each instance, the Supreme Court granted Facebook and social media companies the right to say, look, we are private companies. We can put whatever content we want out there. We can curate some. We can disallow and deplatform others. The government can't regulate us. So I think you're right. I would think that Texas and Florida will lose today because their effort in this case was to ensure that more conservative voices could be guaranteed a spot on social media. And I think the Supreme Court is going to say, the First Amendment does not protect speech from a private company. And these are not the government, they're the private company. And if they want to cut you off, Mr. President, Trump, or any conservative person who they don't like, they can.
And we'll see what happens. Thane, I really appreciate your time this morning. Thank you.
Anytime, Larry. Thank you.
Thane Rosenbaum, legal analyst, CBS in our nation's capital. And yeah, historical. Potentially, anything the Supreme Court says makes history per se, but dealing with immunity for presidents is something that could linger for years to come. Independence Day celebration is Thursday. Do you remember there were some years where they moved it around? I mean, we used to have the Three Rivers Regatta in August, then they kind of tried to tie it all together, and then former Mayor Sophie Maslow moved so that the 4th of July would be on a weekend. So, Aaron, I don't know if you remember that, but now it's actually on the 4th again and has been for the last few years.
Right. I think it's nice that it falls on the actual 4th. I remember the regatta. What a huge celebration that was.
It was a big deal.
Huge.
At one point, Aaron, in KDK TV, when I was there, was the media sponsor, the TV sponsor, and we did shows. Ugh. And it mushroomed to 2 weeks at one point. And then several years ago, it fizzled out because they had some issues with somebody that was running it at the mm-hmm. time.
Well, and I think what we're seeing a lot of, you know, which is kind of being solved with police task forces, but shootings and different rumors and things like that as it would get dark. And I just think maybe downtown had enough of that and they just really didn't present it that way. But I think that can just be so exhausting. You're having a good time and it just gets ruined by little kids being little kids, pretty much.
Plus, you have the fact that challenges of getting, you know, the police force you need to, you know, they had well over 100,000 people that would come.
So many people.
For that regatta year after year. So here's the deal this year. Point State Park, 4 o'clock is kind of when the festivities start. 9:35 is actually when the fireworks go off. So it's the fireworks bonanza mix with TJ, the DJ, who you know now.
I sure do.
He's such a great guy.
He is so amazing.
He's just a good person, and he loves doing what he does.
Yes.
And entertaining people with his music. Presented by People's Natural Gas and brought to you by Red Ribbon Soda, Pittsburgh's Pop, Save-A-Lot, Phil DeLucente and Associates, South Hills, Lincoln, Mercury, and, of course, South Hills, Lincoln. I don't know there's a Mercury anymore. That's just
take that off the tail end.
we're gonna be carrying the, I mean, it's fireworks, but we have the soundtrack.
Oh, yeah.
On KDK 9:35. Now, a couple of notes. If you're going, and there'll be probably 100,000 people plus there too, is that they're going to contain Point State Park. They're going to seal it off right before the fireworks. So if you're not in the park, you're not getting in the park.
It's
if the
over.
Fireworks are active. And they also have, across the river on the PNC Great Lawn, North Shore, they have festivities there too, and on Liberty Avenue.
Which is nice.
Are you a fireworks person?
I am. I've never been one for setting them off myself. Ever since getting married, my husband has friends, his brothers, that feel like they know what they're doing when it comes to setting off fireworks. So I always, I think, have enjoyed 4th of July. It's a great holiday. We celebrate those who gave their lives, the independence. It's a great holiday.
And in terms of fireworks, how about some people yesterday tried to take some fireworks through the TSA, which gummed up the works again?
I'd like to know what's happening at the airport.
What person thought it would be a good idea to try to go through TSA with gunpowder?
Mm-hmm.
Basically is what it is. So just as a heads up, you might want to not take fireworks to the TSA. You're going to experience a long delay on your own.
Yeah, maybe not grenades either. Yep.
Yeah, that happened, what?
2 weeks ago.
Was it 2 weeks already?
Yep.
One was a active military smoke grenade that they would pop smoke to land helicopters in a landing zone.
Ridiculous.
And that person thought that might be a good idea to take that on an aircraft.
Have a little party.
By the way, right after the news today, we're going to check in with AAA's Jim Garrity. This is anticipated to be a record week of travel. 90% of Americans will travel at least a distance by car this holiday weekend.
Yes, I was listening to that on the news this morning. I do think more people will probably drive. This is one of those holidays I imagine people with the windows down, you know, wind blowing in their hair sort of feel. Yeah.
I remember, did you ever have sparklers? Because
when
we were kids, everything else was illegal.
Yes, I felt like sparklers, like that was the hype for me. But leading up to watching the fireworks, sparklers. Absolutely.
Those are still dangerous, too.
They are. The way that they gave them to us as children and just trusted we wouldn't.
With a bucket of water and you forget and you touch it, you burned your fingers.
Yep.
But now fireworks are legal.
They're completely legal.
In the state of Pennsylvania, which for many, many years you had to go to Ohio to get them.
Yep.
But be smart and do not try to take them on an aircraft. That would be a bad move. Every Monday at this time of the Big K Morning Show, we check in with Brian Caranta, brought to you by Secure Money Advisors. Brian, hope you had a good weekend. Good morning.
Yes, great weekend, Larry. Good morning to you also.
I love this because it's usually I give you a pop quiz. It's the financial tip of the week, and I want to know about the rule of 72.
Yeah, that great question. A simple but powerful formula that can help predict how your money will grow. That's what the rule of 72 is all about. So let me take some time and explain this here, and I'll give you a little bit of history behind it. I think we'll give the listeners a little bit of a history lesson on some math here. But the rule of 72, believe it or not, was developed by a mathematician by the name of Luca Pacioli back in the late 1400s. And this rule, it helps us determine the number of years it will take to double an investment. So you simply divide 72 by the annual interest rate of your investment. So, for example, if you had an 8% interest rate, you divide 72 by 8, which equals 9. So it will take about 9 years to double your investments.
Ah, believe it or not, I learned math on an abacus, and I think I get it. So
yeah.
that's a great way to look at it. So give us another practical example.
Yeah, so let's say, so let's take it even further. So let's say your initial investment was $1,000, right? So at an 8% interest rate, according to the rule of 72, takes 9 years to double that money to $2,000. So if you continue to get 8% in another 9 years, it would double again to $4,000. And again, this is a simple yet effective way to see how your money can grow over time.
So it's not just for investments, but it can also apply to inflation.
Oh, good one, Larry. That's exactly right. It absolutely can apply to inflation. So you can work it the other way too. So the rule of 72 can also show how long it will take for the value of your money to be halved due to inflation. So a more simple way of saying that is, how long is it going to take me to lose my purchasing power or half my purchasing power? So for example, if the inflation rate is 4%, dividing 72 by 4 gives us 18. This means in 18 years, your money's purchasing power is going to be cut in half.
Ouch.
Now, yeah, ouch is right. And this is why planning is so important, because what we're really talking about here is your money purchasing power eroding over time, a little bit over time. You know, in this case, 4% inflation rate, every year that purchasing power is going to erode a little bit. And we can still look, I mean, even though they're saying the inflation numbers are coming down, the overall inflation, you know, is still, you know, people are still feeling the impact at the grocery stores, the gas stations, and everywhere they go when they buy things. So, but these are insightful little rules that you can use to kind of just help gain some clarity around what you're doing.
So let me get this straight. So you have the rule of 72 that figures out when you're doubling your money, but then you can utilize that to figure out what the inflation rate, so that there's a net result, which is what you really need to look at, which is why you got to sit down with you to figure it out.
Yeah. Well, you know, we've got very powerful spreadsheets that we use to help people go through this planning process. And it is a great tool for planning. And by understanding how quickly your investments can grow or how inflation can erode your savings, you can make a more informed decision about retirement planning. So if anyone out there would like Secure Money Advisors to check the performance of their investments or to help them see if they are on the right track, if they're going to have enough money to retire, or if they're going to be able to stay retired. That's the other big thing, Larry, is, you know, retiring is, you know, pretty easy. You know, you set the date and you retire. The bigger heavy lifting that needs to be done is, how long are you going to be able to stay retired if you need to take money out of the investments that you've accumulated while you're working?
Great information, as always. The rule of 72. Right Track, Pittsburgh.com. You can click there and schedule up a meeting with Brian. Love this stuff, Brian. Happy July. Here we go.
Yes, here we go. I'll see you again next week, Larry. Thanks a lot. Have a great week.
Reach out anytime. We certainly had a lot of people doing that on Friday, the debrief after the debate. We should read some of the instant accesses more often. Instant access at kdkradio.com, and we all get your messages. So tune in and then let us know what you think. You know, this is the fiscal new year, Aaron, July 1st for many businesses. This is as important in terms of a calendar year. And it's also the beginning of the second half of the year and a date when many states have new laws that go into effect. Check this out. CBS's Michael Toscano reports some of them deal with guns, drugs, and liquor.
It's now a felony in Virginia if a person under 18 you're responsible for gains possession of a firearm when you've been notified the person poses a threat to themselves or others. Firearms and ammunition sales in California will now generate an 11% tax, with the money going to school safety. California is also requiring bars and nightclubs to offer their customers the means to test their drinks for date rape drugs. In Florida, you can now legally kill a bear if you think it's a deadly threat. And Maryland is expanding the availability of liquor delivery. Michael Toscano, CBS News.
Maybe we should also go over to laws that are on the books that are, you know, outdated. I used to love when they'd read, so it's illegal some places to spit on the sidewalk, things like that, Aaron. That'll be a good research project.
Yeah. I mean, and just as a side note, I agree with that. It's like, I get it. My dad used to have that habit, just spitting on the set for no reason at all.
No, people still do it, but yeah. It used to be illegal. And that was many cases back in the day when a lot of men chewed the big chaw tobacco.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. So then they would do that. Hurricane warnings are in effect in Barbados, St. Lucia, Grenada, Tobago. Hurricane Beryl is in the Atlantic, and Richard Posh is a senior hurricane specialist with the National Hurricane Center.
Beryl is a very dangerous Category 4 hurricane, and it is approaching the Windward Islands, which are the islands of the southeastern Caribbean Sea. It's got maximum sustained winds near 130 miles per hour.
It is the earliest in history that a hurricane that reached a Category 4 stage was recorded in the Atlantic in the month of June, so over the weekend. And we checked in with Joe Lindberg, our meteorologist, and he said it looks like the window of movement is going to put it into the western side of the Gulf later in the week, which is good news for the people in Florida and along the East Coast, but not such good news for the people in Texas who have already dealt with
so many
historic flooding.
Yeah, it's a year of firsts, a lot of firsts happening. Why are we getting so many tornado warnings here?
To that point, in southwestern Pennsylvania, as of last week, we had 14 recorded tornadoes confirmed in this region alone.
Unbelievable.
When typically, for the state of Pennsylvania, the average is 9. So that's another thing. And did you see video of the flooding in New Mexico? Now, that's a state which doesn't have that much rain.
Right.
But they've had epic amounts of rainfall, and the flooding unprecedented in some areas. So something's going on.
Yeah, lots of unprecedented weather lately.
Something's happening.